Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, beginning in chapter 9, and we'll focus our attention on verse 11. Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 11. And when you have found your places, if you will stand with us as we have done throughout the meeting, in honor the Word of God. Hebrews 9 and verse number 11. We'll read down, Lord willing, through verse 14, four verses of Scripture. It says in Hebrews 9:11, "But Christ," it's our Savior, "but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained," notice that's past tense, "eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, if they sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Amen. Then just a little of verse 15. I said, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament." May God bless the reading of His Word, and you may be seated there where you are. There's a word that keeps recurring in this text. You couldn't help but have noticed that it comes once, twice, three times, and then four. The word which I refer is the word blood. Did you keep noticing it? Again and again and again, the blood. The Lord has laid it on my heart today to focus on these verses with you for a while. And you can't preach these verses without talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to go on record today and just make this statement just right up front. I still believe in the blood. You know, that doctrine of blood atonement has fallen on some hard times. I heard a preacher the other day, and you might say, "Preacher, you're arguing over semantics here." I don't think so. He said it wasn't the blood of Jesus that saved. No, no, no. He said it is the death of Jesus that saves. I'd like to make an announcement. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood that saves. You see, if it is just the death of Jesus that saves, wouldn't have mattered how He died. But, and you preachers, I appreciate your expertise and your wisdom. But I got to thinking, I don't have Scripture that says if they drug Jesus outside of Jerusalem and stoned Him to death, that I could get saved. I don't think I've got Scripture that says if they'd put a rope around His neck and hung Him by gallows somewhere, I could get saved. But I've come to tell you today, I do have Scripture that says if they nail Him to an old rugged cross, if He sheds those precious drops of blood dying for you and me, I can get saved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus that washes away our sin. So, all I know to do is we'll examine our text with the view of the blood. I heard somebody, not in person, on tape, he was mocking those of us who believe it's the real blood, the literal blood that washes away our sin. He accused us of being superstitious.
He said, anybody that, he said, they sang that song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." He talking about us. He said, we act like there's something magic about it. We act like there's something unique about it. I don't know about the word magic, but it saved this hellbound sinner. Hallelujah. It cleansed my sin. Glory to God. I thank God for the blood. But to our text, to verse 11, we'll just examine and follow the Holy Ghost leading of Paul. But Christ, that there tells you what the whole thing's going to be about. But Christ. Anybody in this building believe every word is inspired? I'm a-wondering, why didn't it say, but Jesus? It meant the same thing. Why didn't it say, but the Lord? Why is it the Holy Ghost said, Paul, no other word will do. We're going to have to start out, but Christ. Some of y'all look worried. Jesus is the Christ. We're still all right here. Hallelujah. Why is it Christ, Christ, Christos? They tell me, I don't know, they tell me that Messiah in the Old Testament is the identical concept to Christ in the New Testament. You know what Christ means? All these preachers do. It means the Anointed One of God. It means that God took of His Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit, hope I get an amen, and poured Him out upon our Savior in a measure that cannot be numbered. Hallelujah. Can't measure the Holy Ghost that He had in Him and on Him and about, but Christ. So if I'm going to preach about the blood this morning, I got to introduce it by preaching Christ, our Savior. And I got to thinking, Christ, the Anointed One. And I'm not telling you something you don't know. In the Old Testament, three offices were always anointed of God. Let me just review them. Won't take but a minute. Number one, king. You couldn't be a king, not God's king. You couldn't be a king in the Old Testament if you were not anointed, if the prophet of God didn't come. Don't y'all remember Samuel? And don't you remember him anointing David? He poured that oil, the picture of the Holy Ghost, and David, I'll need an amen, David became the anointed king of God. Yeah, but Brother Bagwell, you're supposed to be talking about Jesus, and here you are talking about a king in the Old Testament announcement. Jesus is king. In fact, if you let me go this far, I just believe He's King of kings. One of these days He's coming back. He's riding that white horse of victory. He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth. But Christ, the Anointed King. Number two, they always anointed their prophets. Couldn't be a God called prophet in the Old Testament if you didn't have that anointing of God. Remember when Elijah, he's all discouraged up and God revealed, and He come down and He anointed Elisha to be prophet and poured that oil on Elisha's head. Brother Bagwell, here you go again. You're supposed to be talking about Jesus and you're talking about a prophet. Don't get too far ahead of me, brother. I'd just like to declare Jesus is the prophet. Hallelujah. He's not a prophet. He's the prophet. He's the prophet Moses said was a coming one of these days. I just believe He's the greatest prophet that ever lived. I believe He's the greatest preacher ever preached.
The king, prophet, and then of course, priest.
Oh, Psalm 133 talks about it. Remember it said how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in you. Then He uses an illustration of Aaron, the high priest. And they anointed him. Said the oil ran down on his head. Then it got down on his beard. Went all over his outer, all the way to the skirts of his garment. Priest had to be anointed. Brother Bagwell, you have followed three tangents introducing this message.
No, not really. I mean, just watch it now. Jesus is a priest also.
He's not just a priest, help me. He's a high priest. He's the great high priest. He's not a high priest after the order of Aaron. Those boys kept dying off. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal high priest. But Christ,
he's going to enter there. I know he's heading toward something about the blood.
Did you know it's not just important that blood was shed to get us saved? It's important whose blood was shed to get us saved. My blood couldn't have done it. And respectfully, your blood couldn't have either. But God's Son's blood could wash away our sins. But Christ.
We'll keep reading in verse 11.
But Christ being come a... Oh, here it is. Being come a high priest of good things to come. This context is going to describe our Savior as our great high priest. Watch. Of good things to come. My wife tells me I'm not really an optimist. I tend to look on the dark side of things, and that's probably a fault. But when it comes to Jesus, I'm an optimist. Oh, y'all ain't getting that at all. I better go back up here and say that again. High priest of good things to come. I don't know what kind of valley you're in. I don't know what kind of burden you're carrying. I don't know what kind of battle you're fighting. But I got an announcement for you today. Hallelujah. There's some good things to come. If you're here today washed in the blood on your way to heaven, born again by the grace of God, it's going to get better by and by. That's the truth. He's a high priest of good things to come. I like to got myself run out of a hospital one day, preacher. I was pastoring down in almost in the city limits of Atlanta. One of our men, and he'd been sick a long time, had terminal cancer, had surgery after surgery. It was the afternoon he died. I walked in the hospital room. His name was Brother Morris. I looked at him and I said, Brother Morris, I just want you to know I love you. I've come to pray for you a little while, and this is what I said. But I said, Brother Morris, don't worry. I said, I've come to tell you everything's going to get better by and by.
Amen.
Oh, his family ganged up on me. Somebody grabbed me by the arm and tugged me outside the room and said, Brother Bagwell, Daddy's worse. His condition is not stable. Don't you dare tell Daddy everything's going to get better by and by. Oh, I need to tell you one more thing. Brother Morris was saved. Did I tell you what happened? He died that afternoon. I was standing by him when he went home. Hope I get an amen. But he went to a better place, thank God. He went to glory, straight to gold, no more sorrow. Thank God he's a high priest of good things to come.
Well, I'm glad that's so.
Yeah, but preacher, what in the world's that got to do with the blood?
I don't know, we'll keep reading here.
He's a high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say, not of this building. Now, I'm preaching to some Bible students and scholars today, Pastor Walker, and I know that. And so without insulting you in any way, a priest has got to have a place to minister.
That's right.
If you're a priest, you've got to have a temple. You've got to have a tabernacle. You've got to have a...
It helped me if somebody had nodded their head like that.
I'll let you in on a little secret right now. I preach faster when you're saying amen. Just depends on how hungry you are, really. Whether you get into this or not. Brother Bagwell, what do you mean a high priest of a greater tabernacle? Well, I know this. The tabernacle of the temple where my high priest serves, get me an amen, it's not the one in Jerusalem down here on earth. They didn't like him much over there. Pharisees and scribes despised everything. Well, Preacher Bagwell, if he's a high priest, and if he's ministering the tabernacle, where in the world is his tabernacle? I'll rest my voice. Y'all getting it, aren't you? I'm telling you, that tabernacle Moses built, it wasn't a real thing. It is just built on a model of the real thing. God's tabernacle's in glory. I've come to tell you that's where our Lord's officiating today. That's where He's ministering for you and me. Some of you. I just tell you what. Not only is He ministering in a better tabernacle, don't know if I'll say it enough. I believe He is the tabernacle. Now, I've been challenged, don't know. Oh, you know me. He is. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I'm watching you preachers mouth. It didn't help me explain it right now. You know what He did? He came down. He pitched His tent. He tabernacled right in the middle of us. He is. Hey, y'all, what do you think a mercy seat stands for? That's Jesus and His shed blood. What does the table of showbread stand for? He's the bread of life. What's the candelabra represent? He's the light of the world. Hallelujah. He is the tabernacle. So, there He ministers for you and for me. Y'all ready to get another verse? Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, watch, but by His own blood, His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now I have a question. I'm not going to spend the day arguing it. If you don't agree, well, I just love you anyhow. But I'm wondering, where is the blood of Jesus this morning? I was reading the other day, and maybe I shouldn't. Sometimes I read these wild ideas just to be able to preach against them, I reckon. The fellow said this. He said, I tell you what happened to the blood of Jesus. Said it oozed out of His body. It rolled down on the cross and said it dripped and oozed into the ground. That's what he said. He said it decomposed. Said it went the way of all the earth. And it disintegrated. And I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe His blood decayed. Hope I get an amen. I don't believe His blood could have decayed. Are y'all okay with that? Preacher Bagwell, you're just raising all kinds of dilemmas. Where is His blood? That's not a copyrighted expression, is it, brother? Hey! I'll tell you where His blood is if it's not in the ground. If it's not somewhere, if it cannot, preacher, how do you know it can't decay? Peter told me. He said, we are not redeemed with corruptible things. Well, it's the blood of Jesus that redeemed me. It's incorruptible. Where is it? It's in glory today. Y'all okay? It's in glory. Had a preacher want to argue that. A preacher wanted to argue that with me. He said, never heard it before in my life. It don't matter if we've heard it or not. Thank God, I believe it's in the book. I believe it's in this verse I just read. Now, and I don't want to take too long, and if I do, preacher, you let me know. You say, well, how'd that blood get to glory? How in the world? Up yonder now. I believe it's only one way. I believe the high priest took it to glory. Let me just end the suspension right now. Tight got there. But I believe the Bible describes it for us. Oh, over there in John 20, the day of His resurrection, first believer that saw him was a lady, Mary Magdalene. And oh, when she finally realized it was the Lord, she wanted to grasp him and hold him. And he said, Mary.
Now, by the way, this will only work if you've got a King James Bible. I done been challenged otherwise. The lady said, my Bible don't say that. I said, you ain't got the right Bible then. Hallelujah. Said she went to grab him and he said, touch me not. Am I all right? I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now that's all right, well and good, but here's where the problem comes. Later that day, later the day of his resurrection, comes across the disciples, those men who loved him, and they want to, in fact, the Bible says they fell at his feet. They grabbed him and they loved him and they worshipped him. And the Lord let them touch him. The Lord let them caress him. The Lord let them adore him.
That's right.
I hope I'll get an amen. I may not. That don't mean he likes men better than he likes women. That don't mean the men disciples were his favorite and Mary was a nobody. I tell you what happened. Between the time Mary couldn't touch him and the time the disciples could, I don't know if I'll get an amen. I believe he went to glory. I believe he went up there and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat as our great high priest. I need to hear an amen. Preacher, I had a man tell me. He said, impossible. He said, you can't go to glory and back in one afternoon. I tell you right now, if you've got a glorified body, you can. And it won't take you long, neither. That's where His blood is today. Thank God for it. Y'all okay? How'd you like to preach this to a bunch of Lutherans? Say amen right there. They wouldn't understand it. Here we are. In verse 13. All right, preacher, he's our high priest. He is the tabernacle. He's in glory there with his blood. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats, Old Testament, the ashes of a heifer, red heifer, sprinkling the unclean, if they sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, what he's going to ask, how much more? In the blood of Christ, save us from our sin. Now here's what, and I don't know, and you don't have to agree with this. We covered the fundamental issue here, but I'm going to tell you something. I just believe there is literal forgiving power in the actual precious blood of Jesus. I don't think it's simply representative. I don't think it's simply a metaphor or a simile. I think I'll entertain another amen right there. I believe in the blood. The literal blood. You have it said the blood of bulls and goats. Now hear me. The blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could not forgive sin. Now don't write me off yet. It could make atonement for sin. Now some of y'all are right there with me. That word to make atonement, they tell me, carries the idea, it can cover sin. That's all the Old Testament could do. Are y'all with me? By the way, if you're not with me, I'll just back up and explain it again. So you might ought to get with the program here. Atonement just means to cover. That's what the word meant. And in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and the ashes of the old red heifer, it made atonement. Hey, y'all, I'm not fooling the one of you. I covered something with my handkerchief. Everybody in this house knows what I covered. You can see the shape of it. You can see the length of it. You can almost see the color through that white handkerchief. Preacher, it ain't no secret what you've covered up there. We know it's still there. I want to tell you something. Thank God for the blood of those Old Testament bulls. And thank God for the goats. And thank God they made atonement. Oh, may I give you some good news. When Jesus got here, when the Son of God, virgin born and sinless, lived and died, when He shed His blood on that old rugged cross at Calvary, thank God our sins are no longer simply atoned. Help me. They are washed away. They are gone. They are removed forever. Hallelujah. Far as the east is from the west. Far the depth of the deepest sea. Y'all see it, don't you? You know, preacher, I don't know the blood of bulls and goats. I got so interested in this. Maybe I could have spent my time better otherwise occupied. But I went down to the bookstore and I got a book on blood. A medical history of blood in the United States of America. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of the details, but just to grab two or three things real quickly. That blood history book said early in American history, I didn't know this, said somebody gets sick, some of you will know it, said somebody gets sick, said they would cut them and they would bleed them. Taking the blood out, assuming that would make them, George Washington, first president of the United States, died from complications of having been bled too much. Y'all with me? And finally, American science realized, well, it's not by taking blood out of people you're going to make them better. I'll need an amen. We got to figure out a way to get blood into them. And began the history of blood transfusion in our nation. You don't believe it. It's fact. I can document it. The early American history of blood transfusion, the doctors tried to use animals' blood, to heal sick bodies. They used the blood of dogs. They used the blood of cattle. They even used pigs' blood. Often wondered if a man got enough pigs' blood if he'd go around saying oink oink all the time. Everywhere he went. No established research on that, by the way. I just wonder about it. And I'm happy to report very few. They didn't use a lot of blood. Very few died. Some died. Very few died in the medical book. It's in my book. There is a picture of a doctor's office. Early American era. There's a big shelf up here. And a lamb is sitting on that shelf. They have shaved the area near that little lamb's heart. They have injected a tube into the little, what we'd call the aorta, I guess. And there's blood coming out of that tube. Brother Walker down here lay a sick man. They were fixing to infuse that lamb's blood into that sick man. Believe it or not, two or three cases where folks got better with animal blood. Enough, just enough, not too much, and it helped them overcome their sickness. Too much will kill you. It'll put you in shock. But I'm talking about the lamb's blood. The caption says, "We now know this won't work." We now realize that animals' blood will produce shock if given in sufficient quantity. By the way, I shouldn't stop and do this. If them boys had just read their Bible. Moses said way back in Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hey, here's a case where science finally caught up with the Word of God. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm hoping they'll catch up in some other areas one of these days. Lamb's blood going in that man. It won't work, I said. We've learned better. And y'all going to think I'm absolutely nuts when I tell you this. You looking at a feller, I'm 60 years old. This happened to you, to me when I was 12. Don't know if you're going to understand it or not. I, too, came across a rather magnificent lamb.
Amen.
Think I'll go into it a little further. He also had some mighty special blood.
Amen.
And one day I got hooked up, not a good word. I got associated with the blood of that lamb and that, oh, not a four-legged lamb, not a fleece all over it lamb. The darling Lamb of the living God. And you know what His blood did? It saved my soul from hell.
Hallelujah. I love to go back and look at that picture every now and then. What it did for me. Y'all alright? Some of you are looking strangely right now. And in case you say, I don't know about all this, all I'm trying to do is brag on Jesus a little while. I'm just trying to magnify His grace, His majesty, and the power of His shed blood. Hallelujah. In the blood, this blood book's written by a lost man, a scientist who is a medical doctor. He told this story. He's got no idea what he's telling. He told this story. He said as American medical science advanced, he said it really came into its own basically about World War II. He said we learned the art of blood transfusion. Y'all hear me? He said there'd been many a soldier shot up out on the battlefield in World War II, gashes and bullet holes in him, dying, only a few minutes left to live. He said a rough old ambulance come bouncing across the battlefield. Said two medics would jump out. Said, and back then they didn't have the blood in plastic bags. It was in bottles, glass bottles. Said they'd jump out. One of them would start patching up the holes. Another would start putting that blood in that man. And I tell you what I read. I believe it to be the truth. Said that blood would get to flowing in his body. Said that blood would reinvigorate him. Said it would rebuild that strength. Said, I hope I get an amen. A man that ought to have been dead said in 5 minutes he's sitting up ready to go back and fight some more. Blood transfusion. This occurred. I know it is a fact. One day, an old soldier boy was a-dying. Particularly critical. Here come the ambulance. A couple of them medics jumped out, patched him up, got the blood flowing, and preacher walked, said it was just amazing. Said within 90 seconds, 2 minutes, some of his color started returning. Said he began to warm up. His body did. Said he sat up and said he was amazed. He would have been dead in that amount of time. And said that soldier, still a little bit dizzy, said he looked up at that bottle of blood and said he asked that medic, he said, what's that white tag on that blood bottle up there? And the medic said, well, sir, all that is, they don't do this now. All that is the name of the person who gave blood to save your life. You're sharp, preacher. I'll tell you that's all I know to say. Said he asked, if you don't break no rules, and if you can without getting in trouble, I wish you'd tear off the name of whoever gave me that blood and saved my life. Because I sure would like to have it. And them two medics looked at each other and they didn't know no rule it broke. Brother Dudley, they just tore off the name. That old boy put it in his pocket. His tour of duty's about over. A few weeks, they shipped him back home. And Brother Mike, when he got home, you know, they didn't have ways of searching names and where people live. Like, he got that out and preacher the old-fashioned way. He started looking for whoever gave that blood. Looked and looked and looked. Finally found what he thought was the city. Finally located through a phone directory what he thought was the address. Said he walked up on that porch, knocked on that door, and somebody answered. He stood there holding that name and he said, are you so and so? And it was. Now this may ruin the story for you. It was a girl. Some of y'all looking funny. Girls have blood too. They do.
When she opened that door, he felt so awkward. He said, "Ma'am, you don't know me. And I don't know you, but," said, "I have it right here, the medic. You gave blood one day, and I shot up out yonder on the battlefield, died. And I your blood saved my life, and I done come all these miles, and I just want to thank you for what you did for me."
She smiled. By the way, the more he talked, the more he noticed how pretty she was.
Yeah.
This happened. And he said, "Ma'am, I got no business asking it, and I don't want to be forward. And if I go too far, you just tell me to hush. But you a married woman." And she wasn't. Then he wanted to know how hungry she was. Wanted to take her out to supper. Let me make a long story short. I'll take much time here. That boy who's dying on the battlefield, somebody whose blood saved his life, he went and met him. He fell in love with him. They got married. And they lived, I've always wanted to say this, they lived happily ever after. I don't believe you're getting it. Let me give you a word of testimony. One day this old boy right here, I'd been shot up bad by the devil and by the world in the flesh. I was laying out on the field dying on my way to hell. But oh, thank God somebody showed up carrying the blood. And the blood washed away my sin. And you know what it did? I want to say I looked him up, but that really ain't true. He looked me up. Glory to God. He found me. You're not going to believe it. We have fallen in love. And one of these days, we're going to get married. And you know what? On top of that, glory to God, we're going to live happily ever after. In the blood book, it said that. They didn't know what they were talking about, but what a picture of our Savior. I'm telling you, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. I got to get ready to close this text. Preacher, if I got time to tell one more out of the blood book, I'll stick to the blood book. We'll get back to that last verse. Happened. This happened. It happened. I can prove it. Old boy shot up. He too, apparently dying, bad shape. I come out there and put that blood in him. Preachers, they said he too asked. They won't tell you now. I'd like to know whose blood. But this boy, he's still a little so dizzy, he couldn't read it. And he asked the medic, he said, "Read me whose blood you just put in me." And the medic said, "Well, let me see. And this name won't mean a thing to an awful lot of you, but it will to some of you. This is what the name said, the blood. General Dwight D. Eisenhower." The general had donated blood. Just went in that soldier boy and saved his life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When they read that name, they said he perked up. He said, "You telling me there's a general's blood flowing in my veins right now?"
There is.
Them old medics said, "Son, it looks like there is." Some of y'all will appreciate this. Said he got right bossy the rest of the afternoon. Said he's telling some of them captains what to do around there. Said they had to calm him down. Said that old boy said, "You just let me alone. I was laying out there dying a few hours ago, and right now I got general's blood flowing through my back." Preacher Bagwell, why would you get so excited about that? I'll just let the songwriter express it. She did a lot better than me.
I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
A child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Hey, I'm a little old backward country hick of a boy, shy as I can be, from the sticks of Greenville County, South Carolina. But I got to tell you what happened one day. I got myself a transfusion. Hallelujah. I got washed in the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, His blood flows through my veins. Are y'all all right? I appreciate what He did for me on that old rugged cross through the power of His blood. Preacher, I hadn't used this text, I guess, in a year. I had something I was going to preach this morning. My brother got to telling us about we ought to be out witnessing, winning souls. And Brother Mike got to telling me how blessed I was, even when I was in the dungeons of life. I thought, how in the world all that happened to me? How'd I end up getting a commission to tell men and women about Jesus? How in the world did I meet a Savior where I got so low, couldn't have no help, and He'd come along and give me blessing after blessing? I tell you why. It's all because of the blood. Hallelujah. His death, His grace on the cross at Calvary. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? I got so excited, I talked about blood everywhere I went. I was at the doctor one day. He's checking my blood pressure. You can't tell it by looking at me, but I got high blood pressure. Have to take a pill every day. He's checking my blood pressure. There's that little cart. It had these blood tubes in it. I asked, it's empty. I said, Doctor? I said, I wonder if you'd give me two or three of them little blood tubes. I said, I'll pay for them if need be. I just need them. Well, that's more than he could handle. He said, what's a preacher going to do with blood tubes? And I told him, I said, I'm going to put blood in them. I said, I'm going to preach on blood one of these days. I'm going to hold it up and illustrate the blood. Oh, he told me, he said, you can't do that. He said, it'd be illegal for you to carry real blood like that. Said, I can't. Said, I'll give them to you if you promise you won't put no blood in them. Well, Miss Bagwell, I hope you ladies will appreciate it. Thank God for red food coloring. Water and a whole lot of that stuff, it'll do. Why are you talking about a tube of blood? My doctor said this. He said, I ain't never been around kind of preaching you're talking about. He said, I don't know nothing about that Bible. And he don't. He said, preacher, said, I want to tell you something about blood. And I close with this. He said, if it'll help or not, I don't know. He said, every time it's shaken, every time it is spun, you know that when they're doing that blood work. He said, I promise you, it will always settle in three layers. He said, it'll settle in three distinct layers. He said, the bottom layer will be the reddest of all. The middle layer will be a milky reddish color. And he said, the top, the plasma, said it'll have more of a whitish intensity to it. He said, I promise you, it'll settle in three layers. Hope y'all understand. When you bring up a number three around an independent Baptist preacher, he goes wild. Hallelujah. Three. God made blood so it'll settle in three layers. That's what my doctor said. You don't reckon God done that for a reason, do you? Here's what I think. I think to get me saved, it took the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. See, we wouldn't have got saved if God the Father had not devised the plan. We wouldn't have got saved if God the Son hadn't come and shed that blood personally for you and me. and we still wouldn't have got saved. If the Holy Ghost hadn't come, He's the one that convicts us and draws us to Jesus. Yes, sir, it's whosoever will, but the Holy Ghost has got to make us want to. He's got to... Y'all all right with that? Whosoever... Now, through the text, except this. I got to read that last verse. And you help me. I want you to help me look and see if you see the Trinity anywhere in this blood text. If it's not there, I won't bother you. I'll let you alone. And we'll go eat. If it's there, I want us to recognize the threefold nature of blood atonement. Verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of... Here comes a hint. How much more shall the blood of... Somebody give me that next word. No, more loudly. One more time. The blood of Christ. Second person of the Trinity. Who through the eternal... Give me the next word, please. One more time. There's the Holy Ghost, third member of the Godhead. We got the Son, we got the Spirit. The blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without spot to... Help me. One more time. There's God the Father. Want to close this afternoon saying this. Thank God for the Father. Thank God for the Son. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. God's blood saved me from hell. Hallelujah. And I sure do bless His good name for it. They're going to keep saying it's not the blood, it's the death. And that church is going to keep taking the blood out of the hymn books too. And there's still that crowd that's going to laugh and mock us when we believe in it. But I made up my mind, if God will give me the sense and if God will give me the strength, I'm going to leave here still believing in the blood. I'm going to go home still trusting in that crimson flow that washed away my sin on the cross of Calvary. I like being around y'all. You encourage me in the things of God. As we leave here and go back to our homes and our ministries and our churches, I just want you to go thanking God. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb.